Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah, the 12th chapter. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the year 112 AD, Pliny the Younger, Roman governor of Pontus and Bithynia, wrote a letter to Emperor Trajan in Rome for advice. What should I do about these strange Christians? He would have been glad to release them if only they would offer prayer with incense and wine to the statues of the gods and of the emperor and curse Christ. But none of those who are really Christians, it is said, can be forced to do it. Trajan's reply to him was sort of a don't ask, don't tell policy. Don't seek them out, don't receive anonymous accusations. But if they're proven to be Christians, if they're stubbornly persistent in their superstitions, of course, you have to punish them without any reservation. This is our heritage, dear Christians. And one line from Pliny's investigation stands out. This is really the only thing he understood about these Christians. They meet on a fixed day before dawn, and they sing responsively a hymn to Christ as to God. Those Roman rulers didn't know much about Christianity, but they knew that we say that Christ is God, and that Christians sing. It's not a German tradition. It's not a preference or really even an option, even. It is Christian that we sing. And we must, for Christ, God's right and holy arm, has gotten him the victory. It was the singing of the early Christians that stuck in the memory of Pliny. It was their singing that indicted them. It was their refusal to sing that condemned them. According to the martyr accounts, they even died with these same hymns on their lips. Now, this week of Easter has been named for the Lord's own command to sing, cantate, from Psalm 96. In keeping with it, some of us also heard President Eggers' fine sermon for an installation on Sunday on Zechariah, where he taught us that not only Christians sing, but our God himself sings. So when I say, dear Christians, that it's our heritage to be singers, it's more than just the heritage or long-standing tradition of men. It's the heritage from our Heavenly Father. It's not only the worship director's opinion. Our God is just into singing. And now we take up today's reading, this first song of Isaiah. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. This means that he is both the content of our singing, but also the occasion for it. Whether we address him directly, or we address our neighbors, as the apostle commands in Colossians 3, our God is enthroned on the praises of his Christians. But our songs are even more unique, as Pliny could see. You couldn't swap in Artemis of the Ephesians into these songs. Because we sing about Christ, and we sing about Christ as God and to Him as God. We sing of a love that cannot die and a life that cannot die, and yet which has. We, the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we celebrate. We sing His bleeding love. We glory in His cross. Our songs tell a story that no other God could fill, that no other God would dare do. This is, of course, why our songs don't play very well with others, and why they have, when sung rightly, annoyed Roman officials of every age and time, and often to the point of violence. So behold our song, dear Christians. It's not simply an acclamation of characteristics of a mighty God, a powerful God, the beneficent, the merciful, good and awesome. Neither is it a song of battles fought and won, of loves and ladies remembered, or of deep and beautiful thoughts that you and I have had. It's not a collection of our opinions or reactions or expressions of religion and experience. But our songs are always a story. And it's a surprising story. It's the part that shouldn't be left out of Isaiah's song. You were angry with me, but your anger turned away that you might comfort me. The Lord was angry with His creation, with us, with me. And He has every right to be. And nevertheless, He became my salvation. Nevertheless, He laid down His life of His own accord. He showed Himself great in our midst by turning His own wrath away from us and onto Himself in Christ Jesus. He showed His holiness by making us holy for Himself. Jesus Christ we address as God because He is, as His name implies, He is a salvation for us. We have less concern then about all the Nebuchadnezzars and all the Caesars and all the Plinys, lesser or greater. Our God is able to deliver us out of their hand if it pleases Him. But far more substantial and singable is how He has rescued us from Himself, as it were. How on account of Christ Jesus, His anger has turned away. There is forgiveness with Him, and therefore He is to be feared. Therefore, even at the early hours of the day, He is to be sung. Therefore, He is to be called upon. Therefore, He is a well that overflows with life for us. And therefore, we shout and we sing for joy, for He has done gloriously in His Son. And this has to be made known to all the earth. Stubbornly, perhaps, we've been known to do it. Now more than ever, I know that it may seem a very strange thing to be found singing. Americans simply don't do it. We like to listen to others do it. But it's not so among you, dear Christians. Our singing cannot be silenced. And if singing seems awkward to you, or if you look like one of the strange ones, just like in the days of Pliny and Trajan, I want you to know that you aren't strange. You're just a Christian. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.